If you're going to become true dodgeballers, then you got to learn the 5 D's of dodgeball. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Las Vegas, a city built of hot sand, broken dreams, and $5 lobster. A city where you can get a happy ending if you pay a little extra. A city to a sporting event greater than the World Cup, World Series, and World War II combined. Live from Las Vegas, it's the Las Vegas International Dodgeball Open here on ESPN 8, The Ocho. Bringing you the finest of seldom-seen sports from around the globe since 1999. If it's almost a sport, we've got it here. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this year's annual Las Vegas International Dodgeball Open, brought to you exclusively here on ESPN 8 The Ocho. My name is Cotton McKnight, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime, Pepper Brooks. Pep?
Yeah, Cotton. Hey, everybody, 32 teams in play. That means 4 wins is going to get you in the final match. That 5th win is going to get you the 50K everybody's chasing. Cotton!
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
It's time to separate the wheat from the chaff and the men from the boys and the awkwardly feminine from the possibly Canadian.
F and A, Cotton. F and A.
Dodgeball is a sport of violence, exclusion, and degradation.
Skills might be looking past average Joes doing a little more dancing than dodgeballing out there.
They better chickity check themselves before they wreck themselves, Cotton.
You want to have a dodgeball victory, you have to grab it by its haunches and you got to hump it into submission.
Oh, right in the testicles!
Ouchtown population you, bro.
You couldn't hit water if you fell out of a boat!
I'm being told that the average Joes do not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Come on, I got better runs in my shorts.
Looks like it's gonna be a 2-on-1, a menage a trois of pain.
Usually you pay double for that kind of action, Cotton.
Let me tell you, a double fault final play elimination hasn't occurred since a Helsinki episode of 1919, and I think we all remember how that turned out. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare to witness the greatest happening in sport, sudden death dodgeball.
Pepper needs new shorts.
In 23 years of broadcasting, I thought I'd seen it all, folks, but it looks like Peter LaFleur has actually blindfolded himself.
He will not be able to see very well, Cotton.
Listen up, crotch stain. Remember your training and trust your instincts. You can do it. I believe in you. Bye-bye.
Do you believe in unlikelihoods? Average Joe's shocking the dodgeball world by upsetting Globo Gym in the championship match.
Unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been to the Great Wall of China. I've seen the pyramids of Egypt. I've even witnessed a grown man satisfying a camel. But never in all my years as a sportscaster have I witnessed something as improbable, as impossible, as what we've witnessed here today.
This is Patches O'Houlihan saying, take care of your balls, and they'll take care of you.
Welcome to Couch Potato Theater here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Couch Potato Theater is the podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network, dedicated to covering all those hidden gems, cult classics, guilty pleasures, and fan favorite films that are just so good, even though you might have a digital copy or Criterion Collection or deluxe Blu-ray set in your library just a mere inches away from your entertainment center. You love what you're watching so much, you don't care about getting off that couch. And that is the definition of what our show is all about. My name is Kevin. I'm your host for this special Couch Potato Theater. We are at the Fandom Podcast Network are proud to celebrate Couch Potato Theater's special presentation of Dodgeball, a true underdog story. I'd like to introduce my co-host for this Couch Potato Theater. With me, as always, is my fellow co-founder of the Fandom Podcast Network, Kyle Wagner. How are you?
Podcasting for Dodgeball. It's a bold strategy here on the FPN, Kevin.
I think it might work out. And Patches O'Houlihan himself, let's welcome my co-host of Bloody Kings, Mr. Lee Fillingsness. How are you, sir?
I feel like a moron trying to hump a doorknob.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. But before we move on, let's tell the listeners where they can find the Fandom Podcast Network on the Couch Potato Theater. Cotton? No, I guess you're not Cotton. You're, what are you?
Just call me Pepper. Kevin's going to go get himself back together again. I'm going to tell you where not only you can find Couch Potato Theater, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. And it all starts on our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, you can also use the mobile app for Podbean and down, just look for the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, we're also on Apple Podcasts / iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play for you Android device users, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Of course, you can also find our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can find me, Kyle, of course, if I've got the right outfits, because there's been lots of shipping problems around here lately. But I'm at AKyleW on Twitter, or you can find me on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Cotton, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And Lee, where can people find you these days?
The parking lot behind Denny's. No, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Way of the Way.
And of course, there's a couple great ways to help fund our dodgeball team here at the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, it starts with our T Public store, which I believe is going to have a flash sale here shortly. But, you know, I'm not sure about that. There's always one going on. But anyway, you can find all kinds of great gear, including coming soon, possibly the Fandom Network Podcast Network dodgeball jersey. We're working on that one still. But we do have T-shirts, hoodies, pillows, laptop cases, all kinds of great stuff. Just go to tpublic.com and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. And of course, we love your reviews after this week. I don't know if we're going to match those same high quality reviews that the Ocho gets, but, you know, hop on to Apple Podcasts / iTunes for you Windows users. We love 5-star reviews, but of course, we love the reviews in general because we're always striving to make better podcasts to feed your ears here at the Fandom Podcast Network. Back to you, Cotton.
Thank you, Pepper. Guys, I can't believe we actually did that cold opening in one shot.
Miracles do happen.
Okay, I want to get this out of the way first. Okay, so first of all, welcome to Couch Potato Theater here on the Fandom Podcast Network. We're talking about the 2004 classic Dodgeball, a true underdog story. Lee, you have some experience playing Patches O'Houlihan, don't you? And please explain.
Yes, I do. There's a local independent theater here in town called the Phoenix Theater. And a friend of mine runs a production company called Shadow Horse. Shout out to my buddy, Pal Van Stetzel. And they do what's called a drinking game. And they take various movies and they get a whole bunch of local actors. We all sit up on stage and sometimes we act it out. Sometimes we sit there with the scripts and laugh hysterically. But it's all, you're expected to be in character, but you're not really expected to memorize your lines. Everyone gets the script like the day of, occasionally the day before for something a little too tricky. But we all just do it. And the first time I was on there, I got to play Captain Barbosa in Pirates of the Caribbean because they needed a fight choreographer. And they're like, well, let's give him a role. So I got to play the pirate.
That's a meaty role to do for that. That's good. That's a good one.
It was a lot of fun. And I still have, you know, the, for far too long have we hungered without being able to feast, thirst unable to be slaked. And we just had this blast with it. And, part of the drinking game is anytime somebody says your name, you have to take a drink. And there's a few others.
So you could also be Pirate Steve as well.
Pretty yar. I'm a little short on cash this month, but, we did this one and, we had a blast and then we realized, you know, a bunch of us are 30s and 40s. And we realized our audience, was, you know, younger and a little bit more, sensitive to other people's cultures. And, my lines were horrible. And we realized that, every time something was particularly bad, I would just look to the crowd and say, it's in the script and point the words. And that kind of got us past some of the particularly reprehensible lines. But it was a fun character to play because there was no apology.
Kevin, you did properly hang the Luck of the Irish sign, right?
We did. And they actually dropped it on me. They made it out of cardboard. I'll find the pictures and send them to you guys so you can see it. But they made it out of cardboard. They dropped it on my head. And
we decided it would be really funny if I just stayed on stage right there in the wheelchair with the jacket and got the this box on my head. And I had a couple lines, you know, I had the final line where I'm basically Obi-Wan's ghost. And it sounded funny until I realized I'm going to be sitting there for 20 minutes under stage lights in a leather jacket with this gigantic cardboard box over my head.
Yeah, I'm going to need some pictures of that later.
Yeah, I'll send that to you. So.
Well, again, welcome to Dodgeball. It's your underdog story here on the Couch Potato Theater. I was like talking about the posters. One of the more iconic ones is where it shows Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller kind of back to back with the Dodgeball there, especially with the unrated version that you got on DVD. Another classic one was a poster with the saying "Grab life by the ball," and someone has collapsed, and you see Dodgeball, a true underdog story. And one of my favorites is kind of a banner art where it says Dodgeball along the top with Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller, and then you see the Average Joe's team on one side and the Purple Cobras with Laser, Blazer,
Taser,
and Taser and Michelle all over there as well. And the Russian girl who I can't remember her last name.
Arga Harfig.
Stars not Gostaskongovich.
Yeah, pretty much.
Couple of movie taglines, of course, Grab Life by the Balls, A True Underdog Story, which was in the original working title. Now it's just shortened to Dodgeball. And of course, Grab Life by the Ball. Quick plot description here. White Goodman, played by Ben Stiller, is the owner and the founder of Globo Gym and would have love nothing more than owning the Average Joe's gymnasium across the street. Peter LaFleur, played by Vince Vaughn, doesn't want to lose the gym to Goodman, but can't find a way to get the $50,000 in time. Peter and his gang of gym buddies think of ways to raise money, finally settling on winning a dodgeball tournament. White Goodman retaliates by creating his own dodgeball team to finish off Peter. Peter's team doesn't do too well until legendary ADAA champ Patches O'Houlihan, played by Rip Torn, turns up ready to train them. All right, guys, let's get your personal notes on when and where you first were introduced to dodgeball. Patches yourself, Lee, tell me.
This was shortly after college. A friend of mine had finally convinced me to watch Zoolander. I hadn't liked Ben Stiller much in this interim, and he's like, you gotta watch Zoolander. So I watched Zoolander, and I'm like, oh my god, this is hilarious. And then I took his word on watching Dodgeball, went and saw it at a second run theater, left quoting the movie in tears laughing, having a blast with it, and brought me to the realization that as long as Ben Stiller isn't playing a normal human being, he is hilarious. But and when he's writing, he's, you know, Cable Guy is still one of my favorite comedies of all time, and it's just dark and weird, and his role in that is beautiful as one of the Menendez brothers. But this one Zoolander just have me watching Ben Stiller. I'll still give him a chance every so often, as long as it's not a Meet the Parents movie.
Kyle, what about you? Where did you first see it, and what type of impact did it have on you?
Oh, this was one I saw with a bunch of buddies at the theater, and we just came out, like Lee said, you're just quoting lines left and right. I mean, this movie is one of the more quotable modern movies of all time, as far as the 2000s. I think it's one of Ben Stiller's best roles, and I think it's one of Vince Vaughn's best roles as well. I think these are two of maybe their more historically well-known roles, and that's saying something, because they both had pretty solid careers going forward. But
yeah, when it comes
to Jason Bateman,
yeah, when it comes to Vince, though, I think this and maybe Wedding Crashers, I know some people will say probably his first big hit,
Swingers,
yeah, but I really like him in this one and Wedding Crashers, I think, and Ben Stiller, in my opinion, next to Zoolander, this is probably his best role in my opinion.
I
remember where I saw it. I was in the town of Columbus, Ohio. I was working a convention for that weekend, a game convention for the game company I used to work for. And there was I want to say it was around July 4th time, maybe June. I can't remember exactly. But and this was opening up that weekend. Actually, I guess it was in June time because this came out in June 18th. And I remember after we were done setting up our booth and stuff like that, we went to go see this in the theater, and there was a bunch of us that went, and oh my god, we were laughing so hard. And we ended up there are several of us, not all of us, but myself and another guy and a few others. We went back and saw it again the next night. I think I saw it like four times within like 2 or 3 weeks in the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of the magics of this movie though. This movie is incredibly rewatchable.
And I had not been to a comedy twice in the theater since I think, the first one that I remember doing was Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I went back in the theater and I didn't usually do that a lot with comedies. I would just, you know, if I loved it, I would get it on video as soon as it came out. But I went back and saw this, and to this date, Dodgeball is my favorite comedy of all time. I don't know what it is about it. It just has a certain magic about it. The idea of it, the cast of characters in this is just fantastic. And, I love it. Let's start with some of your favorite scenes, Lee.
I mean, you can't beat you dodge a wrench, you dodge a ball. So classic. When we did this on stage, we had these just gigantic cardboard wrenches. That was what we made the props out of. And, you know, we'd kind of worked it, and I kind of smoothed down the edges as much as I could, but it's still cardboard and it can still kind of hurt you. And it was just perfect because I threw this thing and at the last second it just kind of dipped a little bit and it looked like it hit this guy in the head and bounced off, but it just curved and he played it so perfectly the entire audience just went oh. That was a good one. I love the opening scene where hey there Timmy, jeepers mister, you scared me. Would you like to learn about dodgeball? Sure would. Gee, where am I? You're in a Chinese opium den, Timmy. Before the dodgeball was invented, they used to play with severed human heads.
You know, opium addicted Chinamen.
Yeah. Like when you think of a perfect way to set the stage for a movie, you just understand that it's going to be ridiculous from this point on. And so you don't need to pay attention. You know, you don't need to suspend disbelief. It's out the door anyways. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and watch this movie.
What about you, Kyle? What are some of your favorite scenes?
Well, I just want to hit up the topic real quick that you brought up about rewatchable comedies. There's only three comedies that I can remember going back to the theater and seeing more than once. This movie, Tommy Boy, and the original Hangover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't see Tommy Boy in the theater. I caught it on video later on. I think Hangover I might have seen in the theater. But yeah, those are good calls.
Yeah.
For me, it was Superbad and Mallrats and Jay and Silent Bob.
Those are good.
I went as many times as I could.
As far what are some of your favorite scenes, Kyle?
You know what? I love the opening with Ben Stiller advertising Global Gym. And just because you just know you're in for it right then and there. It's almost painful to watch because you're just like, oh, but it's so good. And I love how they reversed it at the end with Vince Vaughn doing the ad for Average Joe's at the end too. But yeah, I mean, there's so many great scenes. Obviously, one of my favorite scenes is also, I think, one of the best cameos in the movie with Ben Stiller and Lance Armstrong, where he's like, oh, you're Peter LaFleur. I've been watching you on the Ocho.
Knowing what's happened though with Lance Armstrong, it's a little weird now.
It is a little weird.
it's even funnier. Yeah. And our narrator made fun of that in the show. It was pretty good.
I think one of the funnier scenes is too with Justin Long's character at the beginning when he's describing the trauma he went through, and they go to the scene with him at the cheerleader.
Oh God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got two favorite scenes. One, one where White Goodman shows up at Catherine Beach's house in that white leather outfit, and she is just repulsed by him. And then LaFleur shows up, and then you know the altercation happens. He goes, "You don't make me bleed my own blood." And then it just tops off to where like he like snaps his finger, and Michelle shows up on the little tiny scooter. He gets on and then gives him the middle finger. And then when they're first introduced in the first match and there's that clothing mishap and they're all wearing the hardcore, you know.
Yeah, the S&M.
S&M.
And Kyle, I just want to make sure that we're not doing that style Average Joe's uniform for the Fandom Podcast t-shirt.
That goes on that special website, Lee, that I haven't told you about yet.
But just everyone's reaction.
We put the Dom in Fandom.
Yeah. Everyone's reaction with Cotton going, you know, oh, sweet Jesus. And that one mother covering her daughter's eyes.
I got to say, too, also White Goodman giving a whole new definition to the pump.
Yes. Favorite quotes. We covered them a little bit in the opening. I like at the very end, if you wait for the credits and then you see a very severe, obese, you know, white Goodman going, F you, Chuck Norris.
My milk brings all the boys to the yard.
Lee, do you have any other favorite quotes?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them by Patches O'Houlihan, and I think we already said the only ones that I can say on air.
Right. there's a few that we can't say.
Yeah, honestly, everything that came out of Pepper's mouth was just pure gold. He will not be able to see very well. And the insanity of his delivery was beautiful. Way too many. Like, can we just give the script of the movie away? Because I mean, that's the whole.
Yeah.
There's not a down spot in there.
Kyle, did you have any other quotes that you want to throw out there?
There's a great one by White Goodman when Kate asks him, "Are you reading the dictionary?" "Oh, you caught me. I like to break a mental sweat too."
The director was Rawson Marshall Thurber, not a household name, but he's been doing some stuff. He's the director of We're the Millers, which was funny. He also directed Skyscraper recently with Dwayne Johnson. He's been doing a little bit of acting as well. What else has he done? It's a rumor anyway, We're the Millers 2. So he's been doing some stuff. He's doing some producing, some writing. He has about 10 acting credits as well. But let's talk about the cast here. We got Vince Vaughn as Peter LaFleur, Christine Taylor as Kate Veach, Ben Stiller as White Goodman, Rip Torn as Patches, Justin Long as Justin, Stephen Root as Gordon, David Joel Moore as Owen, Chris Williams as White, Alan Tudyk as Steve the Pirate, Missy Pyle as Fran, Stud Dubadubadich. Gary Cole, of course, is Cot McKnight. Jason Bateman is Pepper Brooks. Hank Azaria is young Patches O'Houlihan. Of course, Lance Armstrong himself. And a wonderful and awesome cameo, of course, by Chuck Norris and William Shatner and David Hasselhoff. Lee, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on the cast.
Absolutely love this. I've just started watching Brockmire. I got caught up in a week because it's amazing. So Hank Azaria in this is, I feel like this might be the prequel to Brockmire.
What's Brockmire?
Brockmire is his new show. It's four seasons in, but it's all about, he plays a baseball broadcaster that has a meltdown on the air while he's giving the count. All right, and we're 0-2, and you ever come home and find your wife with another man? And he just does this whole, and he does the entire thing in the old baseball announcer voice.
Nice.
That we all
grew up, yeah.
The Bob Uecker. And he says the most terrible things, and it's just delightful. But, looking at it, I've had a crush on Christine Taylor since Hey Dude. she's always awesome. And, like I said, this is one of those movies that brought me back to Ben Stiller. It's cool going back and seeing Alan Tudyk working, having watched a couple episodes of Firefly when it first came out. I'm like, oh, hey, that's Wash. The whole cast, just when you talk about a good ensemble, you've really got it. Because, nobody else could have done Stephen Root's character. Justin Long was absolutely amazing. The weird-looking kid, I always forget his name, but he was in, Avatar as well.
Joel David Moore.
Yeah, he is so funny.
Tall, skinny, nerdy guy, yeah.
Yeah. And he's been getting a lot of work lately, playing very different characters, but just bringing it out. But you couldn't do that. And honestly, casting Mike Brady and Jason Bateman, that pair, I would never have thought of putting them in a comedy like this. And they steal the show, as well as almost everybody else. Like, there's just everyone is just fighting for their life to, be the most memorable person in here. And somehow they all won.
Yeah.
And honestly, putting Chuck Norris in there at the end, especially so you could have that line, making fun of him, and Hasselhoff, playing with that old thing about the Germans and Hasselhoff. Du bist alles feiner.
Kyle, what about you? What are your thoughts on the cast?
This is one of those movies that just hit it out of the park and got the perfect cast with the perfect chemistry. And, you know, you really look at this, pretty much everybody in this cast has gone on to some pretty good success since they've done this film. But to me, the big thing with this movie, too, is all the cameos, whether you're talking about Gary Coleman, Jason Bateman, Hank Azaria, but I mean, Lance Armstrong, William Shatner, Chuck Norris, David Hasselhoff. And the thing is you don't see him coming at all. Nobody sees Chuck Norris coming. that's what even made it just so good. You even had Julie Gonzalo, who played Amber, who was the girl that Justin Long was trying to hook up with. And she's actually had a bit of a run here. She's currently on Supergirl as a regular. So the cast has done quite well. We were talking about it before we started recording too. I think my only thing is Christine Taylor needs to do more work. She does not do near enough work. I mean, she was incredible in this movie.
Gorgeous.
But
funny.
And one that I forgot about, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt does. Curtis Armstrong.
Patton Oswalt does some voiceover too. He's the one that's reading off the naughty movies that are overdue rent.
And Mona Lisa Smile.
Yes. I echo everything you guys say. The cast is just fantastic. They all just seem to work well together. My favorite casting, though, is Rip Torn as the old Patches O'Houlihan. I mean, this is the role I remember Rip Torn the most from now. not Men in Black and all the other stuff that he's done. I remember he was also in Extreme Prejudice with Nick Nolte. He was in that one. But man, this one, he's Patches O'Houlihan to me. And I know we lost him recently. But Ben Stiller, my God, this is one of the most genius characters I've seen anyone play. I mean, he's done Zoolander as well. Vince Vaughn, he kind of plays Vince Vaughn most of the time, but in this one, he's charming. You know, and that's another reason why I like him in this film and one of my favorites. And Stephen Root is Gordon, who reads Obscure Sports Quarterly, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love Missy Pyle as Fran. She's just so funny in this. So,
you know, Kevin, what it is about Ben Stiller, though, it's that hair, that perfectly feathered hair.
Yes.
As Pepper.
And the handlebar mustache.
Yeah, and as Pepper.
It is feathered and it is frosted cotton. Yeah.
The running time was 93 minutes, released June 18th, 2004. The budget was $20 million. Opening weekend in the U.S. was $30 million. USA gross was $114 million, but worldwide gross was $167 million. So this was a bona fide hit. We got some reviews and critical responses here. The Rotten Tomatoes film holds an approval rating of 70% based on 162 reviews. An average rating of 6.3 out of 10. It says there that it's proudly profane and splendidly silly. Dodgeball is a worthy spiritual successor to the goofball comedies of the 1980s. Metacritic, the film score has a 55 out of 100 based on 34 critics, indicating that a mixed or average reviews, and audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average of B+, which is nice. Slant Magazine dismissed the film as a less than one joke film, while TV Guide remarked that Ben Stiller doesn't know when to stop. Other critics, such as the Boston Globe, praised Stiller's satirical take on the male virility and praised the chemistry between Vince Vaughn and Christine Taylor. Joe Morgenstern of the Wall Street Journal initially declined to review the film, believing it was not worthy of his time. However, after reviewing the DVD, he changed his view, writing, Mea culpa, Rawson Marshall Thurber's debut feature starring Ben Stiller opposite Vince Vaughn is erratic, embellic, and not completely idiotic, inconsequential, and even the small scheme of things, and thoroughly entertaining. And, of course, we always like to see what Roger Ebert says. He gave the film 3 out of 4 rating in the Chicago Sun-Times review and writes, "In a miraculous gift to the audience, 20th Century Fox does not reveal all the best gags in its trailer." That was one thing that I remember and I was a little afraid of, because I remember the one thing that I always saw was Christine Taylor's character, when she's repulsed by White, she goes, I threw up in my mouth, and you saw that all the time. But that was another thing I noticed too, is that they saved some of the best gags that weren't in the trailer. And that's what I liked. What'd you think, Lee?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, the big ones and the easy ones. I mean, it was that one, and you could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball. Justin Long just taking it right in the noggin and crying on the ground. I mean, there's a certain poetic stupidity to that that you know, we can all laugh at, even though it's horrible. You know, and I think, yeah, I totally agree. The especially with what Joe Morgenstern said, like he's talking about it, like it is erratic, it's imbecilic, it's idiotic, and you can't stop watching. It's just, it's simply fun.
It is.
You know, it doesn't have to be crazy, but keeping all the good jokes in there, I mean, so many of them need the setup and need you to be in that, that it just takes you, the whole movie to get the whole movie, I think.
It seemed like, Kyle, it seems like the 90s comedies were horrible at giving away the best lines and scenes in trailers. This one, not so much.
Yeah, no, that was a big thing for this movie. I mean, this movie in the trailers gave you the lines you needed. You know, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball and a few other things. But it didn't give you nowhere near what a lot of trailers do. I mean, especially with comedies in the 90s and even in the early 2000s, it felt like, maybe until The Hangover, it felt like they gave you all the jokes in the trailer. And it was like, you would go and it was like, maybe you got one or two jokes you didn't see in the trailer, but you had seen the movie by the time you'd gone to see it. So, but this was, like I said, this was good about it. And I think The Hangover was also really good about it. But otherwise, yeah, this was a huge problem for a lot of comedies.
I just realized one of my other favorite lines from the film, cramming up your cram hole, fool.
Hey, if you can dodge traffic, you can dodge a ball.
Yes. This received some awards. 2004 ESPY Awards, Best Sports Movie was nominated. 2005 BMI Awards, Best Film Music. 2005 MTV Awards, Best Comedic Performance, Ben Stiller was nominated. Best On-Screen Team, Vince Vaughn, Christine Taylor, Justin Long, Alan Tudyk, Stephen Rope, Joel Moore, and Chris Williams were nominated. And Best Villain, Ben Stiller won. And of course, the Raspberry Awards had to say some stuff too. They gave Worst Actor to Ben Stiller, also for Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, Along Came Polly, Envy, and Starsky and Hutch, all in 2004. This was a busy year for Ben Stiller.
And not a great year for Ben Stiller either, other than Dodgeball, because, yeah, these were some not so good films.
Anchorman was awesome.
Well, Anchorman was awesome, but Ben Stiller in Anchorman wasn't that great.
I loved his intro. ¿Cómo están?
I know, is, right?
Yeah. Like, I've got that t-shirt somewhere.
Some information on some of the video releases and alternate versions. The DVD and Blu-ray releases all contain various outtakes and deleted scenes, including an alternate ending, as well as an infamous Easter egg in the form of a spoof director's commentary. The director's commentary track starts out in the traditional fashion with the director and co-stars, but soon adds in extra characters and descends into a largely unrelated comedy experience. Halfway through the seemingly chaotic recording, it stops and is replaced by the director's commentary for "There's Something About Mary." Some alternate versions. The Cinemax pay-per-view cut also includes an extended car wash scene, which includes raunchy jokes involving one character's unsightly bikini area around his Speedo. Of course, that would be on Cinemax, right?
I watched that version, and it was Owen, and I just remember the line was great. Hey, come on, man. Keep it high and tight.
Cinemax pay-per-view cut features additional scenes of the romance between Fran and Owen. The newly included material also features a bedroom scene post-lovemaking between the pair. This is the one I kind of thought would be kind of cool. The Cinemax version, of course, pay-per-view version, features an extended ending which Peter, Kate, and Joyce share a three-way kiss.
Hey, Kevin, I want to hit on that for a minute because that is how that ended up was great foretelling in the beginning of the movie when he's talking to Owen about relationships and he talks about finding the two people that are perfect for you. We call that the jackpot.
Yes. Due to its late release in Germany, Lance Armstrong's line had to be changed from "won the Tour de France 5 times to 6 times when the German version was dubbed. To ensure a PG rating, two lines were changed in the US version. Original, "you're all about as useful as a you know what flavored lollipop." US, "you're all about as useful as a poopy flavored lollipop." Original, it's like watching a bunch of you-know-what trying to you-know-what a doorknob. In the U.S., it's like watching a bunch of you-know-what trying to you-know-what a doorknob. Sorry, guys. I have to censor myself. Did you know there was a copyright lawsuit in 2005? Two New York screenwriters, David Price and Ahsoka Thomas. Am I saying
Ahsoka.
That right?
It's Ahsoka.
It's Ahsoka. All right. That's his name. Ahsoka Thomas filed suit in federal court against Fox and Thurber, claiming copyright infringement of the unproduced screenplay they had written, Dodgeball, the movie by Thurber and Fox. They allege that there were a number of similarities in the plots of the two screenplays and that Thurber may have had access to their screenplay, which was finished a month before his and submitted to an agent whose assistant he was acquainted with. Lawyers for the defendants dismissed some of the allegations as coincidental. They said that both screenplays were the work of writers who used common formulaic judgment or elements. Judge Shira Scheinlinden denied the defense notion for a summary judgment and ordered a jury trial. The suit was later settled out of court, which means they got a cash payment. I thought the soundtrack was pretty cool. There's some fun songs in there. Probably the more popular one is the one by Kellis, Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard.
I thought it was great. I was going to say, I thought it was great use of Lady in Red.
This is true.
Yes.
All right, we got some trivia coming up and some other thoughts. But first, we're going to take a quick break and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, a weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. So, ESPN 8, The Ocho, wasn't a real thing until this movie came out. On August 8, 2017, ESPN paid homage to its Lampoon portrayal in Dodgeball by airing a day-long ESPN 8, The Ocho marathon on its college sports channel ESPNU. In the spirit of programming depicted in the film, it consisted of lesser-known and unconventional sports and competitions, including trampoline, dodgeball, darts, disc golf, kabaddi. What is kabaddi, Lee?
I have no idea. I'm going to click on that link and
find out. And Indian contact team sport.
Is it really? Okay. The stunt was reprised following 2 years on ESPN2 and also included airings of Dodgeball. And here's just something that's recently happened. Due to the lack of live sports programming in the wake of the 2020 coronavirus pandemic, ESPN announced it would reprise the stunt earlier than scheduled on March 22nd, 2020. Kyle, you know a little bit about this because you've seen this.
Oh, yeah. This is great. I got to give all the props to ESPN because they went all out every time they've done the Ocho. They find the most obscure things, but what's great is everybody at ESPN is in on the joke. They get the announce. Right. They always, it's like a fight at ESPN with the announcers to do the Ocho shows. And I think there was even one year where they did an Ocho Sports Center. But the truth of the matter is, we're not that far away from reality of ESPN turning into the Ocho on a regular basis right now.
I was going to say, we're up here in the Twin Cities. We're the home of Best Buy, and all the original stores were here. And the eighth store ever built is it here in Burnsville? And it is known by the entire team as the Ocho.
Best Buy the Ocho.
Yeah, and there are people that go there just to kind of visit it. My buddy, John, was the one that gave him the nickname. And he, oddly enough, was the guy that introduced me to this. And it was, it's still, you know, every so often when I'm in there, I'll just have to stop by and be like, yeah, I just wanted to see the Ocho. And if you do that, the entire staff just laughs about it. It's pretty cool.
And so I think ESPN has actually at even at different points sold ESPN the 8 Ocho t-shirts.
Oh gosh, I need one right now.
I made a t-shirt for The Last Jedi that was Star Wars Episode 8, The Ocho. and I thought I was going to make all the money, but nobody wanted to.
I want to mention a little, now we're going to talk about trivia. I thought it would be kind of fun, guys. We'll take turns reading from the trivia list here. I'll go first. But before we start, though, I did want to mention I was watching the special features on the DVD here. And the director, what's his name again? It is Rawson Marshall Thurber. He said that his original script, and they shot it, was that they were going to have the average Joes lose. And that was going to be the ending of the movie. And they actually played this to test audiences. Test audiences hated the ending. And he fought to keep the ending. He got mad. He left the production for like a week. He got mad at the, I guess, the movie company and all that kind of stuff. And finally, he gave in. They reshot the scenes to where they won. I want to ask you guys this. In my personal opinion, the dude was wrong. We need to see Average Joes win. It's just it makes it so much more fun that way, especially rubbing it in White's face, seeing the girls kiss and all that kind of stuff. Lee, what say you? Do you think you would have liked to have seen the original version where they lost?
Kind of do, because that's the same story that happened on Dumb and Dumber, and ending the movie with the town is 3 miles that way with the Hawaiian Tropic girls needing somebody to butter them up. you know, that I think it would have been a fun ending. I mean, if they'd still taken the bet,
but they would have, you know, they would have lost the gym. They wouldn't have won the money, you know?
Yeah, but I think that would have, for the story, it would have been pretty fun. And I think going over the top with the ending, you know, I mean, having that awesome three-way kiss and, you know, all that kind of stuff was pretty cool, you know? And, you know, as Wayne's World put it, having the Scooby-Doo ending was pretty fun, but I would be interested to see what the other ending would have been.
What about you, Kyle? What do you think?
I think for theatrical release, yeah, you've got to have it where Average Joes wins. This is not the kind of movie where you want to be walking out on a downer. And I think that would have just been way too much. Now, I would admit, I would at least like to see it as an extra on a DVD at some point, if they ever, you know, release that. I'd be curious to see how they approached it. But you know, you can't leave it with Globo Gym winning. Come on now.
Okay, so there's two things that in this film I think are funny is, okay, first of all, when someone does a foul, the judge holds up the little red tassel instead of like a red card or anything like that. It's like a little weird red tassel and he just kind of shakes it.
Wondering if that's because it's Las Vegas.
I don't know. I found that was very funny. And then like the prize and William Shatner's holding this very long, like, what do you call it?
A scepter.
A scepter with a big like dodgeball type thing at the end of it. That was very funny. All right, let's take turns reading some trivia here. Lee, you'll go after me, then Kyle, and then me. According to many cast members, the hardest part of filming dodgeball scenes were not flinching when they knew they were about to be hit by the ball.
Justin Long's eyebrow was actually cut open by the first wrench thrown at him. All the other wrenches thrown were made of rubber, but the first was harder than the rest.
Ben Stiller broke 3 cameras in succession filming one scene, and he even hit his wife, Christine Taylor, in the face once.
Oh, that's not good. Many studios, including DreamWorks Pictures and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, passed on this movie. 20th Century Fox finally agreed with Ben Stiller reducing his salary to well under $1 million. As of March 2005, the movie grossed over $124 million and it only cost $23 million to make.
We already read that one. Adult dodgeball leagues began to spring up across the country around the time of the movie's release. Cast member Gary Cole was even invited to a tournament in Chicago, Illinois.
Do you guys remember these? I remember wanting to actually play dodgeball after this movie. I remember these leagues coming up. Kyle, do you remember this?
I do remember those.
Yeah, what about you, Lee?
There's still dodgeball leagues going on. A couple buddies of mine, shout out to Seamus and Polly, are still doing those every spring.
Has any of them come down to like the final one-on-one thing?
You know, I don't know.
Double elimination. All right, go ahead.
Okay, just to show you that the bad guys do win, Christine Taylor is Ben Stiller's wife in real life. So, you know, White did win, get the girl in the end. But Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor had an 18-month-old baby at home while shooting this movie. Taylor was so exhausted from taking care of the baby that she often dozed off in between takes.
Now, this is interesting, and I've done this before. Easter egg on the special features section of the DVD. If you click on the Globo Gym logo at the bottom, you'll see a short video with White Goodman talking about Easter eggs on the DVD. He's very condescending about it, too, which is funny. He tells you that if you press enter every time he snaps his fingers, you will see an Easter egg. These Easter eggs are deleted scenes not included with those in the special features. There are four White Goodman finger snaps in the movie. The first one comes when he goes into the tanning bed. The next when he sends a lawyer out of the office when motioning his team to leave the pub. And the next he motions for Michelle to pick him up from Kate Beach's porch. And last when he motions Michelle to give him the contract for Peter to sign at the hotel room in Vegas. If you guys get a chance to do this, if you have the DVD, check it out. It's very funny.
One reason why I will always buy DVDs and Blu-rays is for the chance of the Easter eggs like that. My favorite is the one on Snatch where they take all the swearing and violence into one 4-minute long clip.
Yep.
And it's amazing. All right. Next up, Gary Cole and Jason Bateman had to keep redoing their voice recordings for the dodgeball matches because everyone kept changing stuff in the screenplay during the shoots.
I can imagine that.
According to the director's commentary on the DVD, Ross and Marshall Thurber wrote the roles of Peter LaFleur, White Goodman, and Justin with Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, and Justin Long, respectively, in mind. The latter was chosen because of his role in Galaxy Quest, Kevin.
That's right. That's right. The movie refers to the fictional ESPN 8, the Ocho, as it means to lampoon the channel's multiple outlets. The Ocho is a tongue-in-cheek reference to the nickname formerly used by ESPN 2, the Deuce.
The Deuce. The entire cast practiced playing dodgeball about a month before filming began.
Of course, and the original title of this movie was simply Underdog.
Patches O'Houlihan, played by Rip Torn, says, "It's like watching a bunch of blank trying to blank a doorknob." This is reference to "It's like watching a monkey trying to, you know what, a football," which is what the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey coach Herb Brooks said to his team when they were preparing for the 1980 Winter Olympic Games in Lake Placid, New York.
I will say just all of Rip Torn's lines when I was doing these on stage, like I said, it's a drinking game. And every time they say Patches O'Houlihan, which happens a lot just in the first couple minutes, gets you pretty rip roaring drunk. This one and poopy flavored lollipop. I can't even say right now. I'm laughing. I was in tears on stage laughing and the whole crowd was going with it because they'd been drinking along with us, but that one always kills me. Okay, next one. At the movie's ending, when White Goodman commits a foot foul, his diatribe about being out here and working his butt off and the referee making a poor call like the one he made is meant to mock the similar diatribe made by Jimmy Connors at the 1991 U.S. Open when he said, "I'm out here at 39 years old working my butt off and you make a call like that."
Jimmy Connors.
Patton Oswalt did the voice work for the scene where Ben Stiller is having his private time with sour cream on top. He also voiced the video store clerk calling about the three overdue videos at the movie store. At the movie's beginning, of course, Mona Lisa smile.
Norm Macdonald can be seen in some of the Globo Gym scenes. One is the Globo Gym commercial. I didn't notice that. Where he is in the background working out. At one point, he is talking to some girl who's working out, and this looks like he is hitting on her.
One of Dame Helen Mirren's favorite movies, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
How awesome would that be to watch that with Dame Helen Mirren?
Dude.
You'll love this one, Kevin. The team names of Average Joe's Gym, Average Joe's, and Globo Gym, Purple Cobras, are similar to the names of the protagonists and antagonists, the G.I. Joe team and Cobra Command in the Hasbro toy line G.I. Joe. Come on, you know, we both thought that, Kevin, when we saw it.
Yep. It is a popular fan theory that Ben Stiller's character is the same person as his heavyweight's character, Tony Perkins, and that they are both egomaniacal fitness gurus who are quite partial to the color purple. I never saw Heavyweights.
Never have.
Yeah.
I saw it. It's bad. All right. Let's see. Christine Taylor and Gary Cole appeared together in two Brady Bunch movies as Marsha and Mike Brady. And we actually talked about this one and Heavyweights both premiered on the same day.
That's right. That was 1995. Yes. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say Brigitte Nielsen and possible alternate casting was considered for the role of Fran.
That would have been fantastic. Missy Pyle is great, but I would love to have seen Brigitte Nielsen. This is interesting. Alan Tudyk, who had come from his movie following the cancellation of his TV series Firefly in 2002, in which he starred as pilot Hoban Wash Washburn. The series was about pirates living and working in outer space, trying to make a living. In this movie, his character Steve thinks he is a pirate.
All right. Kate Veaches, played by Christine Taylor's house, was filmed almost directly across the street from Gary's house in The Last American Virgin. Never saw that one.
Okay, so at the movie's ending, ESPN 8 announcer Cotton McKnight says, "Do you believe in unlikelihoods?" Yes! This comment is a play on the famous exclamation by Al Michaels when the United States beat Russia in hockey at the 1980 Olympics. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
The DVD contains, as I mentioned, an alternate ending where Average Joe's team loses the final match and the movie goes to the credits as the announcer exclaims, "They're going home with absolutely nothing." This was apparently sacked after test audiences were unhappy with it. Thank God.
David Hasselhoff's brief cameo as the German team coach is a reference to Hasselhoff's status as a million-selling pop star in Germany. His character throws down a framed photo of himself as Mitch Buchanan from Baywatch.
See, I thought it was him as Michael Knight, but maybe I'm thinking wrong. But in the climactic scene, in the climactic final scene of the dodgeball match, TV announcer Cotton McKnight uses the term, "Down goes Goodman! Down goes Goodman!" This is reference to Howard Cosell's famous call from the heavyweight 1973 championship fight between George Foreman and Joe Frazier, in which he shouts, "Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!"
And after the credits, when the morbidly obese white Goodman does a little dance to Kellis's Milkshake song, is a reference to a viral video clip that circulated on the internet, which is where an extremely large black woman does the same dance. And when White Goodman does it, he has a lot of fun with the fat suit that he's on.
Just a bit.
Let's talk about movie sequels here. Now, there's a couple little different things here. On April 22nd, 2013, 20th Century Fox announced that a sequel to Do This Movie was developing, with Clay Tarver writing the screenplay and Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller returning to star. However, Stiller has since stated that he was not aware that a sequel was happening. Another note here says that same year that 20th Century Fox was developing the film, says here that a reunion video featuring the cast was released online in June 2017 announcing a competition to raise funds for the Stiller Foundation. I do remember that.
Yeah, I do too.
I was thinking that maybe we might get a sequel. Do you want to see a sequel to this? If so, how, Lee?
I'd like to, if they either just kept to the formula of the same crap, but just a little bit better, I think it would be really funny. Or if they went completely off the rails, what I hope doesn't happen is what happened with Anchorman 2. Mm. I love the first one, but the second one, they tried to repeat the same jokes a little bit too much. Yep. You know, they didn't, it wasn't just the same characters. It was the same jokes. It was the same plot line.
They even got Harrison Ford in for that one too, didn't they?
Yeah. And as a werewolf or something like that. And like so many just odd and bizarre things that should have been absolutely hilarious. The scene where they're in a motorhome full of scorpions and like hot frying oil and all sorts of crazy stuff. It's like, oh, they're laughing about all the bad things that are going to happen to them. It's just way too much setup and there wasn't enough tongue in the cheek to make it work. I think that if they do it, they've got to just really, you know, grab it by the haunches and hump it into submission.
Well, sadly, or should I say patches? Kyle, what about you? Do you want to see a sequel? What do you think?
Well, if they were to do a sequel, there's only one answer. Dodgeball 2, White's Revenge.
Yeah, it's true.
Actually, you know, I think if they're going to do anything with this, I would love to see like a short streaming series, kind of maybe in like a cool with maybe like a little bit of that Cobra Kai feel, Kevin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. A little TV series. Yeah.
You know, maybe revisiting some of these characters and maybe it's like the next generation of dodgeball players or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of nice. I don't think remake would work, but definitely the next generation would be kind of fun. I could see that. What about you, Lee?
I just had a realization. If they did it like they did Good Will Hunting 2 in Jane and Silent Bob Strike Back. Good Will Hunting 2, hunting season. How do you like the sound of them apples? Boom, applesauce. I think that would be just completely go over the top with it. I think it'd be the perfect answer.
Okay, well, if they let me ask you guys this. What kind of celebrity, if they did do a sequel, what kind of celebrity cameos would you love to see as like that would surprise you?
Well, okay.
Daisy Ridley.
Yeah, there you go. Daisy Ridley would be
Daisy
fun.
Ridley? What about mm-hmm. you, Kyle?
Oh, I think a John Boyega cameo would be absolutely amazing in this. Because he would just eat it up like there's no buddy's business. This screams a Paul Rudd cameo as well.
Right.
I want to see, what's his name, Kylo Ren as Ben Stiller's son.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
And just have him doing the voice.
I would like to see someone be related to Patches O'Houlihan, some family member or something. That would be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe a woman like either like a, you know, like a sister or something like that. I think that would be kind of
No.
I'm
not sure. No.
And she could be just as horrible, like Stitches O'Houlihan.
Yeah. No. You know who would be perfect? You cast Emma Stone as Patches O'Houlihan's long lost daughter.
Oh, that would God, be yes. awesome.
Oh, and I just want to see her read all those lines. That would be amazing.
And then you could bring in Brigitte Nielsen as maybe like the mother or older sister to Fran, maybe, or something like that. That might be kind of fun. Apparently, though, too, the Justin's character, if you look at the end scene where they're doing the...
she's pregnant.
She's pregnant, yeah. So maybe they could write that in as well. Okay, guys, let's wrap things up here. Where does this movie stand with you? I want to ask you specifically, because I've said at the top of the show that it's my favorite comedy of all time. Lee, when we were looking for suggestions for Couch Potato Theater, this one was your suggestion, and I jumped on it because it's my favorite comedy of all time. Where does this movie stand with you when it comes to your favorite comedies?
It's up there. You know, kind of like yourself, like finding that top 10 is just hard, but I would put it in the top 30. It might even be in the top 10, but like as soon as I start thinking about
this one. Are you
talking
about top 10 comedies or just top 10 movies?
Top 10 comedies.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, I mean, I just listened to your top 10 TV shows, and one of the things that Kyle said is like, oh, I hear this, and suddenly I'm rethinking my list.
Right.
But this one, you know, especially for Couch Potato Theater, you know, I go home to Omaha and sit with my family all the time. You know, there's a whole bunch of in-laws and stepkids and all that stuff. And one of the few things that we all like is if this is on, all of us just kind of sit down and laugh.
Dodgeball.
And it's like a perfect. Yeah. It's a perfect Couch Potato Theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, having performed in it and just had the fun of saying the lines and hearing people laugh on stage, even doing it drunk was a blast. But there's a just a unashamed joy in that you can see in the making of this movie, and it just comes through every time. You know, you can infinitely rewatch this one. Some comedies you can't do, you know, more than a couple times, but this one over and over again. I will watch this on repeat if you need me to.
Good to know. Kyle, where does this stand with you in your favorite comedies? And I know you have that special edition Cinemax version, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Shannon Tweed's in that edition, too. So
yes.
No, this is easily in my top five comedies. In fact, we just had an episode of Culture Clash where we talked about our most rewatchable movies, and this was one of my honorable mentions. You can always revisit this. This is just a great film from top to bottom. Like I said earlier, it's perfect casting, the chemistry. And like I said, for me, I'm going to put this as one of my top two Ben Stiller performances of all time. I think it's that memorable of a performance.
And the other one being?
I probably have to say Zoolander. I think Zoolander is right up there. He's had a few others, but I mean,
the other one too I want to throw up there is Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, he's great in Tropic Thunder. Yeah. But no, I think this one really, because it's so over the top and it's so memorable, and it's that character's almost got a little bit of a cult following now. But I mean, like I said, this is a movie that I can pop in at any time. In fact, I watched it right before we did this, and it didn't miss a beat. And like I said, easily for me, top five of comedy of all time. Though I still haven't got my official ADAA dodgeball yet, and I'm not happy about this.
By the way, on Tropic Thunder, we were talking about DVD commentary. They actually, one of the best inside jokes in history on DVDs, Robert Downey Jr. stays in character as Osiris Jenkins.
Yes, he does.
Through the entire thing until suddenly Kirk Lazarus comes in and he's like doing all the characters. He doesn't actually speak as Robert Downey Jr. until the credits roll. Yeah. And it's brilliant.
It is. That is a great audio commentary. Oh, man. Now, I want to ask you guys real quick. When this movie was made, it seemed like that they probably fine-tuned the rules of dodgeball. Because I wasn't aware, to me, dodgeball was just, I don't remember the catching it thing and then they're out. I just remember it was just like, let's just throw this thing as hard as you can and hit them. It was, to me, it was more about avoiding the balls. Do you remember this at all, Lee?
Oh, I remember the catching rule. And that was, you know, I grew up basically, I have baseball mitts for hands. And so that was because I was the big target anyway. So I learned how to catch and then I would catch that ball, that dude would be out, and whoever's next to him, I would just pump.
What about using the ball in front of you and then bouncing a ball back at him, like as a shield? Because that was a thing they incorporated in this.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you could do that as long as it didn't touch you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that also protects the guy behind you.
I remember, likely, I remember the catching rule big time, and I remember using the ball to deflect the ball.
Yeah. Did any of you guys come down to the final one-on-one, and blindfold yourself? Anyone? No?
No, no.
I did put the blast shield down. I mean,
back when I was fighting, I was in the championship mask and got my nose broken, so I couldn't see. Does that count?
All right, Kyle, final thoughts on Dodgeball, a true underdog story.
Easily one of the greatest modern comedies of the last 20 years, without a doubt. And for me, one of the greatest all-time comedies, period. I will tell anybody to check out this movie. I think it's an amazing Ben Stiller performance. And just that cast all the way around is just phenomenal. And really the greatest, maybe one of the greatest cameo appearances of all time, because Chuck Norris.
Lee, final thoughts on Dodgeball, your pick, man.
I'll mirror Kyle on that. Infinitely watchable. It's, like you said, one of the best Ben Stiller performances and one of the best Vince Vaughn performances. Both of them are doing what they do best, but not repeating, just doing the same shtick. Like it's what makes them funny, but they haven't like overdone it.
Yeah.
And the only other thought I have on that is take care of your balls and they'll take care of you.
Thank you for joining us here on the Fandom Podcast Network and Couch and Potato Theater's special presentation of Dodgeball, a true underdog story. I'd like to thank my co-host Lee Fillingsness and Kyle Wagner. Until next time, take the bull by the horns, and I'll see you on the couch. Thank you, everyone.
FNA, Cotton. FNA.